Welcome to episode 29 of All of Your Business. These are the vulnerable, authentic, and unfiltered stories of business owners whose currents raise tides that lift all of our businesses, communities, and dreams. All of Your Business is a proud recipient of a 2020 X-Ray FM Podcast Award. X-Ray FM, purpose-driven media at 91.1 FM and 107.1 FM. You can also find them at xray.fm. On this episode, we're excited to welcome Brian Kidd, a.k.a. the Unipiper, from Weird Portland United. And now your host, Michael Jonas.
Yeah, we'll just tell listeners, we actually took our masks off because we're both vaccinated.
Yeah. And they say we can
they
today.
They said today, yeah, the CDC said we can, so here we are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing the podcast. I appreciate it. This is just a conversation, you know, there's no serious list of questions, but first of all, you know, your name is Brian Kidd, but you're the Unipiper.
Wait, are we recording right now?
We're recording, yeah. Is that okay?
This is cool. See, you just slipped in so naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, tell me about that. Like, tell me if I'm wrong. There was a time where you were not really unmasked and people knew, you know, who you were, or didn't know who you were.
That's one of the great myths about the Unipiper. I think there's a lot of them out there. People oftentimes, I'll take my mask off in public or something, and person who sees me will just gasp in like they have seen something that they weren't supposed to see. And I'm like, no, it's not a secret identity, as cool as that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the gasping is the shock of the unrevealing, not at... Oh, he looks like that. Or maybe they're excited. They're like, wow, he's a handsome man.
Right. I don't know what people expect, but that's the other thing is like, I always get, oh, that's not what I thought you would look like. And then I stop short of asking them, well, what were you expecting?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually an interesting, if they were to answer that, what would they be expecting?
Right.
So tell me, you know, you were a child, you had a life before being the Unipiper. You know, I'm picturing you as like a little baby, like on a unicycle and like juggling fire. You know, take me back to like, how did you become the Unipiper? How did you even do that?
Okay. So I really wish I could take credit for just one day waking up and having this fully formed idea in my head and being like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. And that would be grand and noble and everything, but it was a slow evolution over many years. It wasn't until I was in college that I started dabbling in the bagpipes and the unicycle, which happened almost at the same time, unplanned. But I saw a flyer for free bagpipe lessons while I was going to school, and it sounded like a good idea at the time. I mean, I always thought bagpipes were cool. I'd never had an obsession with them or anything, but it's just, you know, one of those things that you see and you're like, that would be fun. Yeah, I want to see what bagpipes are all about. So I started to learn the pipes and going through that process with a local pipe band in town. And while that's happening, I find a unicycle in a dumpster, as fate would have it, and I picked that up and taught myself to ride over the course of a couple of weeks. And I'll say that, because that's a question I get all the time, is the bagpipes are far more difficult than riding a unicycle.
Yeah, and you know, doing two difficult things at once while crossing a bridge,
right?
Would potentially juggling as well.
Well, and not to mention like a helmet that chops off your peripheral vision.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you haven't fallen off a bridge.
No, that is something I haven't done yet. I'm always looking for new experiences, but maybe I'll draw the line somewhere.
So, you start doing this, you know, does your family or friends, are they like, what are you doing? Is this a hobby? Is this a career? Most people go on a walk. You're out here unicycling.
I mean, I'm still asking myself that question. Is this a hobby or is this a career? it was at the time that I started to do that. I had like four roommates, and they were all like in medical school and getting their PhD. And then, you know, I'm riding a unicycle and playing bagpipes. So, you know, I did get a little slack for it from them at the time. And since then, you know, one of those friends has confessed to that, you know, that they were wondering whether they had made the right decision by going to medical school while seeing at the same time what I had been able to accomplish with the bagpipes and a unicycle.
Yeah. So they're laughing last. So you're out there, you realize, okay, I can bagpipe. Can I use that as bagpiping?
As a verb?
How do you use bagpiping?
I think
playing the bagpipes.
Most pipers shorten it to just piping.
Piping. Okay. Yeah. So you're out there piping. You're out there cycling, and you know, how do you reach what I think you're, you know, I think you're Portland famous, but you know, you've also been on Jimmy Kimmel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go from I got this unicycle on dumpster and I'm kind of doing this to like, oh shit, people recognize who I am and people yearn to see me and I have a fan club? And how did all that happen? I know it was over time.
Yeah, it's a strange journey. The one moment, I've had a bunch of these different kinds of moments where, you know, you see yourself or you overhear someone talking about you in a bar, or you hear someone watching a video, you know, a stranger. I'll just go ahead and share my favorite story in that regards. I was riding my bicycle to work one day, and, you know, it does feel a little, as much as I ride unicycle, it does feel a little bit weird to hold on to the handlebars of a bike, you know, with two wheels. And so a lot of times I'm riding with my hands by my side on my bicycle. And well, we all know how serious Portland takes their bicycle culture, or can. And this guy rode up beside me, and, you know, he's full cycle gear, and he kind of looks over at me, shakes his head, and is just like, "You're not the unipiper, you know."
It's kind of like a Batman situation.
Yeah, and I just kind of, I mean, he was gone. We didn't have a conversation or anything, but it was something else. The other moment was the first time I saw a unipiper tattoo. That was the moment where I was like, well, I don't know if I've made it, but I've made something.
I have made it. People are getting tattoos of me.
Yeah.
And then did you right away incorporate other things, you know, like different costumes, juggling, or was it sort of, that was also,
well,
what can I do? I, you know, I've perfected both the riding and the bagpiping. I know there's fire involved sometimes.
Yes. I mean, each element has its own story. For the record, I am a terrible juggler. I've tried, and I just don't think juggling is for me. I guess my skills, there's a line in the sand somewhere, and I found it with juggling. But, you know, it's easy to look at something like the unipiper and write it off as a one note thing, or nine notes in the case of bagpipes, but that's another story. I like to always try and do something new with what I'm doing. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'm using almost all of the muscles in my body in some way, so I don't have a lot of capacity left for new things as I'm already on a unicycle, but in playing the bagpipes. But maybe I can do that, you know, wearing a costume or playing a different song or doing it in a completely different environment. You know, like on the wing of a 737 in the middle of the woods at a rave, which is a thing that's happened. So I always like trying to think, like, I've got this crazy thing that already when people see it, it makes them stop in their tracks. What if I could just, you know, take it that one step further? And that's kind of, you know, the idea for the costumes and the fire. The fire wasn't actually my idea originally. I was performing and afterwards woman comes up to me and is like, you know, I really enjoyed your act and that was very impressive and everything, but where's the fire? and that was
challenge accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
What does your wife think about all this? And did you know her, you know, pre-Unipiper days? She's been with you during the development.
Also a good story. So my wife and I technically met at the Portland Saturday Market. It was in the summer, and I was performing, and she had given me an iced tea as a tip. And she, at the time, I guess, you know, wanted to talk to me and hung around until I was done playing. At that day at the market, as soon as I was done performing that set, the Portland police come up to me and start talking to me. There had been an incident, apparently, the previous week at the market with a different piper who was creating a situation. And so they thought that I was that piper. Mm-hmm. So anyways, my future wife-to-be sees now me engaged in conversation with the police and
costumed, not costumed.
It was probably not. I think it was before Darth Vader, pre-Darth Vader. So, you know, my wife thinks better of talking to the guy who's now being hustled away by the police. So we didn't actually talk at that time. But then a week or so later, we ended up getting matched on eHarmony. And, you know, the story eventually comes out and we realized that we had a brief encounter before that. So she knew what she was getting into because that was her first exposure to me, is seeing me do this. But it was before, you know, the bulk of the attention, like I said, before Darth Vader, before Fire. So she has seen the genesis, and she always likes to tease me, like, she knew what she was getting into to an extent. She had no idea, you know, how big it was gonna become over time.
Yeah. And do you, I mean, this is a weird question, but I'm an attorney, so do you have like special business liability insurance?
Yes.
Or health insurance or something like that?
Yeah, performer's liability insurance.
Okay.
Yeah. Something I looked into pretty quick once I started, you know, being hired to do things.
And have you ever, you know, fallen or gotten hurt?
I very fortunately can count on one hand, like the number of times that I've fallen. Even then, 9 times out of 10, when you fall on the unicycle, you're going to land on your feet just because of how your body is positioned. You're already close to the ground. To anticipate your next question, I've not caught anything on fire yet.
Yeah,
but that's the type of things that keep me awake at night, thinking about that. You know, when I'm using the fire, I am constantly looking around, being extremely aware of my surroundings. I've got a really good relationship with the fire marshal and Portland Fire and Rescue, who have personally inspected my rig and given me the seal of approval for safety. So I make sure and, you know, follow all the rules. And, you know, in the summertime when the burn bans happen, I switch out the flames with bubbles.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to read a story about, you know, part of the gorge lighting up because of you.
Exactly.
So, you know, I know that Portland and Austin sort of argue about keeping weird, staying weird, weirdness in itself. Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why is Portland weird? Other than just you, which is great. I'm probably weird in a way. Like, talk about the weirdness.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here, I moved to Portland in 2007. And, you know, I immediately saw the signs, you know, keep Portland weird. And so, you know, in a way, I was like, okay, you know, I knew a little bit of Portland's reputation. A couple of my good friends in college were both from Portland. And they always talked about what fun and wacky place it was. So, you know, just knowing my interest and what I was doing with the unicycle and bagpipes at the time, Portland was always high on my list of places that, you know, I wanted to go check out. So I didn't necessarily come to Portland with the intention of staying here, but I quickly found a place where I was really comfortable. And you know, the more places I go to since visiting Portland, the more I appreciate what we have, and I enjoy living here, and that includes through today. You know, I think, you know, we're going through a bit of a bumpy patch right now, but so are a lot of places. And mm-hmm. given Portland's his track record, you know, I think we are poised to recover quicker than a lot of other places. My money is on us making a full recovery and soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the weirdness is actually you know, embedded into being strong, community related and laughing together. I'll give you an example. I was on a walk with my boyfriend and we saw those little toy horses.
Yeah.
You know, that people hitch to
totally
what used to be an actual horse post.
Yep. That's one of my and favorite little weird things.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, there's horses over here. And I remember when I moved here too, you know, I'd see like a statue made of bicycles. I was like, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to a festival and someone's making like giant bubbles or like literally everywhere. You go on a bus and like people are wearing capes and I'm like, that's cool.
I mean, you've got people doing silly things like that all over, but I think what makes Portland different is just how accepted it is. You know, people don't judge you for
it. Like just another day, just another person.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's almost expected. It's a place where I used to say that Portland is like a, you know, an incubator for this weird stuff. There's a lot of people in Portland seem to be more free to try these new ideas, and then they catch on, and then you start seeing copycats elsewhere. But, you know, it's a lot of things I think we thought of first.
And have you always been weird? So, you know, tell me about you as a child. Did you do things differently than other kids? Were you pretty, you know?
I think in terms of, like, if you want to call it weird or whatever, I would just always was craving new experiences. And I always wanted to be like the first person to do something, or, you know, if there was a new thing in town, you know, I wanted to be first to try it. And I was just always like thinking of new experiences. And I think that's kind of where my drive to, because, you know, whatever, you know, someone knows how to ride a unicycle and play bagpipes, you know, that they might try it once, but, you know, who's going to stick with it now for, you know, over 15 years? I think that's, goes back to me, just that drive to wanting to do things different. And, I think I, in a lot of ways, share that mentality with some of our core values here in Portland. And, you know, I think that Portland draws people of a certain mindset, and, you know, you put all those people together and you get a rather unique city.
Yeah.
And some would even call it weird.
What was your thought when, you know, this became more than just Portland? I mean, of course we have Portlandia, and then we have all these stories written about Portland. You know, Portland's weirdness and Portland's food and Portland's whatever. So, you know, and you became somewhat famous, mm-hmm. in a way. Like, did you sort of pause and go, oh shit, what is going on with my life? Were you like, this is where I wanted to be? I mean, you find yourself, like I mentioned Jimmy Kimmel, but you find yourself on like multiple media platforms, and there's gear and there's this, there's that. And it, like, what was going through your head in that sort of process, or what continues to go through your head in that sort of process?
Sure, sure. That's a really good question with, I think, a couple of different parts. You know, part of it is like me personally and my journey as the Unipiper, and then the other part is like this piece of me that represents Portland, and it parallels the journey of what Portland has experienced in, during that same time, and whether or not it's been a net win for the city. For me personally, in the journey of the Unipiper, it's been nothing but joy. I've just really relished every moment of it. And part of that is because I think my outlook on this whole thing, I've never really had any expectations with it. It's not like I set out to do this and I'm going to make a career, because it's not, you know, I have a full-time day job as well. And I don't consider the Unipiper a part-time job by any means. I consider that just my other full-time job.
And what is your full-time day job? I mean, you don't have to give specifics if you don't want it's people just kind of want to know, Batman.
Yeah. So it's funny. I'm giving a talk at Portland Community College soon about my day job, which I do a lot less frequently than my Unipiper job. So, you know, I'm going to introduce myself and show a picture of the Unipiper, and then show a picture of me and my day job, and be like, most of the time I talk about my job and this is what I talk about, but today we're talking about this. When I'm not on the unicycle playing bagpipes, I am a acquisition manager for NV5 Geospatial. And I work in the remote sensing industry, and I oversee a fleet of helicopters and airplanes doing laser mapping.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's probably not what you expected.
No, it's nerdy, which is great.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I interrupted and kind of steered the other direction, but back to the question about the fame stuff. I mean, when someone reaches out to you, like, you know, media people or whatnot, you sort of have to ask yourself, right? Like, what's their intention? Does this represent me well? Does this represent Portland well? What sort of process do you have with that?
I think you just nailed it.
Okay.
I can't overemphasize how important all of those things that you just said are. A lot of people constantly tell me, oh, the Unipiper is like the unofficial mascot of Portland. Well, that's both a blessing and a curse. It's fun, but at the same time, there's a lot of responsibility, I feel, that comes with that. And I would hope that anybody in that position would be responsible with that level of notoriety. I absolutely love Portland, and I want nothing but the best for the city and its all of its citizens. I do think about the story that people are trying to tell when they want to talk to me, and it's been a struggle because I also one of my, I don't know if it's a weakness, but it's just a character trait, I have a hard time saying no to people, and I want to because if someone at least cares enough to want to talk to me or engage in some way, I want to give them the time. But then you do learn that there's people out there who want to take advantage of the situation. And you gotta learn how to say no and when to say no. Mm.
Do the people at your full-time job know that you're the Unipiper?
They do. Yes. And, I'm very fortunate to have a really, close-knit group of coworkers, and we've all been working there for a long time. So they've sort of been with me and seen that progression.
I'm thinking of like a Superman or Spider-Man thing where you like accidentally have half your costume on in a work meeting.
So I do have my office is downtown, and we have a basement in the office, and I have a set of gear down there so that I can just, it is like my phone booth. I'll just hop into the basement and then out pops the Unipiper. Going back to like the Clark Kent thing of being working my day job, outside of my close-knit group of my coworkers and my group, in other departments and stuff, people will join the company and then like they'll hear through the grapevine or someone will tell them, hey, did you know the Unipiper works here? And then like occasionally somebody will come up to my desk and be like, will you sign this for me?
That's awesome.
It's another one of those like tattoo moments.
Yeah. I wonder how many people have a Unipiper tattoo, if it's just that one person.
I'm collecting pictures. If any of your listeners have them, they should send them to me. But my collection is currently three.
Or if they're inspired to get one.
Right.
Tell me about Weird Portland United. I love what you're doing with that. Describe, how did that come about? And then what's sort of your vision with that?
Sure. So it has long, long been an idea of mine that there should be an organization dedicated to keeping Portland weird, preserving the weird, and helping the weirdos. And I was kind of shocked that there wasn't anything really like that. And for the longest time, I had all of this energy that I wanted to put into helping something like that. Again, going back to living up to expectations of, being the mascot and things like that. I wanted to give back, and that's kind of the way that I wanted to give back, but there just wasn't what I thought should exist. And so finally, in 2018, it kind of got to the point as I was seeing Portland change around me. The example I would always give is that, back in, let's say, 2011 or so, just you would see tall bikes, almost everywhere you go downtown, you're almost guaranteed to see someone riding a tall bike or down Hawthorne. And by 2018, that you just didn't see that anymore. And I think that's kind of representative of the changes that were going on in Portland. The city was growing faster than it ever had and faster than it probably was prepared to. And you started seeing a lot of our weird creatives get priced out of town, a lot of people leaving in frustration. And so you know, I honestly thought it might be too late in 2018, but I was like, you know, if I don't try this, then, you know, I'm never going to be happy with myself. So, with no experience in the world of nonprofits, I started one. We called it Weird Portland United. And so now we're in the third or fourth year, and things are going well and people are responding. And it's been really cool to provide this kind of platform and space for people that are interested in, you know, these weird aspects of Portland to meet up and connect and see a new weird flourish. And that's, you know, part of our goal is to make sure that I always say that if the Unipiper were to or whatever Unipiper equivalent were to try and start doing their thing in Portland right now in 2021, would they have the same chance of relative success and enjoyment that I had when I started in 2007? And, you know, I want the answer to be yes. So, you know, that's the Portland that I'm aiming towards.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like there's, you know, I don't know if cast of characters is the way to say it, but, you know, like Poison Waters is a friend of ours. Yeah. She did an episode and, like, cat rappers on mm-hmm. it. Like, can you give kind of an overview of who are the people that are part of, you know, weird Portland folk who make up that group? And then also just what it's like to be friends with them. So, you know, you're the Unipiper, they're cat rapper. Do you guys talk about, like, what are you doing? Well, what are you doing?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really good friends with Mosho the Cat Rapper, and it was kind of through reputation alone that we met. And you know, he was rapping about cats in town, and you know, it's so funny because he's doing this thing that on paper is in no way related to what I'm doing, but yet people kept telling him, like, oh, do you know the Unipiper? And you know, there's something at the core of what he's doing and what I'm trying to do where you know, we're on the same level. And so I saw him walking down the street one day, and I just, like, hey, Cat Rapper, and I introduced myself. And you know, we just hit it off. And I found so many other stories like that with connecting to other folks like that in Portland.
Yeah, who are some of the, I know there's that really cool picture of I don't know where you took that, but you're all sort of, it's kind of like a Clue meets Burlesque meets Comedy Hour type of photo.
Right. We wanted to one of the captions we were considering for that photo was taking weird seriously. And, you know, we're all kind of dressed up to the nines. This cast of, I think it was 12 to 15 of Portland's highest profile weird sort of celebrities. And we gathered together I can't even remember. It was one of the fancy hotels downtown in one of their grand ballrooms. And it was kind of, you know, one of those dark rooms lined with bookshelves from floor to ceiling, kind of a get your smoking jacket out type place.
Maybe the Benson.
It wasn't the Benson. I know exactly where it is. I just can't think of the name. I'll have to look that up later. But you know, some of these folks at the time I was meeting for the first time, and I was like, "Oh, do you think we'll be able to, you know, pitch them on this idea and get them involved?" And it was really cool to meet them all. But we had, like, you know, myself, former Mayor Bud Clark, who, you know, was notoriously famous back in the 80s for some of his antics as being, he really gave Portland put the city on the map for being that way. You know, when your mayor rides around on a bicycle yelling whoop whoop, and you know, was in a viral image of the time, you know, flashing a statue with the caption "Expose yourself to art." You know, that image was sold as a poster millions of times, and it's, you know, so anyways, he's was very excited that, you know, we're keeping that spirit alive. We've got Terry Currier, owner of Music Millennium, who coined the phrase "Keep Portland Weird," and trademarked it, and now protects it from places like Walmart slapping it on a t-shirt or something like that. Poison Waters was there, along with Darcel, Storm Large, Toby Froud, who was the little baby in the movie Labyrinth, and whose mom built Yoda. You know, he's a Portlander, proud Portlander.
Yeah.
We had a representative of Portland's mermaid community.
There was a whole mermaid parade I went to one time in St. John's. Yeah. A couple times.
Get this. On July 31st, they're having the mermaid parade again this year, and they are going to do it outside in person. It's going to be a little bit scaled back, but
scaled back.
You know, just
no pun intended.
Oh, hey, I didn't even think of that one. We're actually collaborating. We're in Portland United is collaborating with the mermaid community on the mermaid parade this year, and it's the perfect time for an outdoor mermaid parade, because it's going to be timing wise one of the first events where folks are going to feel comfortable coming out again. And we're going to come out and the Unipiper will be there dressed like a mermaid. We made that connection through being able to do that photo. So now we're putting our weight behind the mermaid parade.
You won't have a tail that gets in the way of the bicycle spokes.
We're
right?
working on that. Her name is Una the mermaid. She was like, I want to build you a mermaid costume. And I was like, well, how is the tail going to work? And so we're working on that. You know, there might be some tights and we'll have the tail go out kind of like a coat tail behind me. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So all these people in a room, you or someone else did weird outreach to try to locate all these folks and wrangle them.
Right.
Was there some sort of like networking event or conversation or meal, or is it just a photo shoot?
It was the first time everyone got together was for the photo shoot, and it was also like we didn't know if it was going to happen because we had people's schedule getting changed, and then we had a venue change at the last minute. And then it was the day, if you remember back to the Proud Boys rally in 2018.
I was going to say which one.
Exactly. 2019. It was the big one in I think it was September of 2019, the mayor got a coalition together where basically all the community leaders got together and said, we denounce that this is even happening. And downtown was just shut down. And of course, that's where we're trying to take this photo on that day. And, you know, we had to decide whether we were because the media was going to be there to cover this. And we thought, what better way to show like the true spirit of Portland than to just go ahead and do this and like, screw you. This is our city.
Maybe some of the Proud Boys, they would identify with the weirdness and be like, I'm not going to be a Proud Boy anymore.
We only hope. So we did it. And you know, it, downtown that day was a ghost town. You know, maybe it was a foreshadowing of what downtown would become just a year later. But, you know, that whole experience is what led us to the title for that photo of the spirit of Portland.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then one of the really great things, I mean, other than this organization, you know, I noticed that a lot of what you do is community related, social justice related. Can you talk about how that plays into what you do? So it seems to be embedded. And my biggest thing, or the thing I like about businesses, especially in Portland, is a lot of them are very much like, this is what I stand for, line in the sand, take it or leave it.
Yep.
So you also seem to be like that, you know, that, okay, yeah, I am the Unipiper, but I also stand for social justice. There's no compromising.
Yeah.
So can you kind of talk about that? Like, how do you combine the two? And was that just a given for you, or is that something that you thought about intentionally?
I mean, it's a given because like it's who I am. But what I've come to realize over this past year is that, you know, again, I didn't necessarily ask for, you know, this attention, but now that I have it, you know, I want to be responsible and use it to do as much good as possible. And so if I have this attention and this platform, I don't know that right now, like if I can put smiles on people's faces, you know, that's my job done, because I think that's something that's very important that Portland needs right now. But, you know, at the same time, if I can provide my platform to other people because I don't know that the Unipiper is the one who necessarily needs to be leading the conversations that are happening. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part, but, you know, I want to make sure that the right people are leading the tough discussions that are going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Random question. You know, I told our podcast producer, you know, we're going to be interviewing. Well, everybody, I told my boyfriend, I told Luke, and everybody's like, Unipiper, we love the Unipiper. But Luke actually said, you know, Unipiper sounds like Unabomber. So ask him, like, does anybody ever call you by accident the Unabomber?
Oh my gosh. Or, like, if I had a dollar for every time that's happened, like, on live TV, I swear, like, you get a newscaster interviewing the Unipiper, and the first thing they want to do is call me the Unabomber. And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, Unipiper. Yes, it happens.
Happens. Okay. And then here's my other random question for you. Do people ask you, like, for requests for your bagpipes? For your piping, sorry.
For like, songs?
Yeah. Like, yeah. If I said Danny Boy, would you know it?
Yeah. The thing to understand about the bagpipes is, you know, you get people who... they know one song, they know one bagpipe song.
And Danny Boy.
Danny Boy, or Scotland the Brave, or Amazing Grace. And, like, you know, they think they're hot shit because they're going to name, like, the one pipe tune that they know. It's like five, it's like kind of like yelling Freebird at a rock show. Amazing Grace. On the other end of the spectrum, you get people who, like, know nothing about bagpipes and just think, especially when they know that I'm known for playing like Star Wars on the bagpipes, then like, oh, you can obviously do anything on the bagpipes. But as I alluded to earlier, you can only play 9 notes on the bagpipes. They have a very limited range. So a lot of songs just do not work on the bagpipes. So you either have to get creative with the arrangement, or it's just not happening. So more often than not, I'm just telling people, sorry, you know, that's not happening.
Yeah. Are you ever just like tired and out of breath and you've just had a long day and you're like, I'm done for the day?
I mean, yeah. So, I've been doing a whole lot of, Unipiper birthday grams lately. So, you know, during the pandemic, it's, I'll ride up to someone's house and then can perform at a socially safe distance in the street. And, you know, the whole neighborhood can enjoy it. And then usually I'll kind of ride around the neighborhood when I'm done. And then I'll get back to my car and start packing up. And then inevitably someone runs up and be like, oh, darn it, I missed you. And it's like, yeah, you did. I'm done. Better luck next time.
Yeah, but that's good to know that that's something that listeners can reach out and book with you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's all the information on my website.
And it's anniversary. It's
we're coming up on graduation season right now.
You passed a test. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other other accomplishments.
Or there doesn't even need to be a reason. Sometimes you just want to see the Unipiper.
You had a good date with someone and you're like, this is how I feel about them.
Yeah, that'll really seal the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you see, you know, it sounds like an interview question, like for a job, but, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years for both Unipiping your career, your full-time job career, and then also Portland, Weird United Portland. Like, where do you sort of see those things?
It's hard because, as I said before, and, you know, this is, you know, for better or for worse, I don't necessarily have a long-term plan. A lot of what I've done surrounding the Unipiper has just been a reaction to the necessity of the situation that has just sort of grown up around me. I guess I can talk about what I would hope. You know, I am 100% happy being the Unipiper, and I just want to keep doing more of what I'm doing. Lately, I've been doing a number of public service announcements, which have just been absolutely fun. And I do think that the concept of the Unipiper is really good for things like spreading a positive message, because you have this loud, crazy thing that draws your attention. So you get people in, and then you give them a good message behind it. So like last year, I did a couple of videos with the Multnomah County Board of Elections about reminding people how they can vote and drop off their ballots. And I'm going to be doing something similar with the Oregon Emergency Management Office about like having a go bag packed and how you what to do in case of an earthquake. And I just think that's like,
that's cool.
That warms my heart, being able to use the Unipiper for things like that.
Yeah, that's excellent. It reminds me of Poison's TriMet ads.
Yeah, I did like, one of those, the same one with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, why not? I mean, having someone you don't recognize or having it be really boring, it's people are just going to be like, oh, just another ad. But
right. And their brain probably won't even see it.
Yeah. But like seeing a drag queen get on a bus, you're like, yes,
you're going to see that first because you can't ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, oh, but while I have your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. That's a smart thing to do, is like combining important public service announcements with entertaining or weird or, you know, Portland standards. Are you, so I know you're a dad, right?
Yes.
One kid or
one kid.
Is your child weird or becoming weird or?
I like to. I mean, maybe every parent thinks that their 3-year-old is a little bit weird. I do have a unicycle, like the smallest one that they make, and every couple months I'll put her on and be like, almost.
That is adorable.
We can almost reach the pedals. We walk through the store and she'll see like a Darth Vader toy and she'll be like, Daddy,
oh my God.
Which is pretty cool. I want her, to, appreciate these things about Portland. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit about, I hadn't thought of it that way, but maybe that's why I care so much about doing the weird Portland United stuff is, you know, I want her to be able to see these things about Portland that I fell in love with.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe express herself in an entirely different way.
So, right, to have that
opportunity. Maybe she'll do, you know, piping for quite some time, or she won't. Or she's like, I am going to dress like an ice princess every day,
which she does already. Yeah. And you know, maybe she's gonna pick up the accordion on skateboard. That's cool.
That sounds
too.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yeah. A whole new generation of weirdness.
Yeah,
yeah. That's wonderful. What about your family? So like, you know, brothers or sisters, or like, is anybody else kind of weird, doing something different, or is everybody just like an office secretary? Like, do you have like a brother who, you know? I'm trying to think of something that would be strange, like plays the flute.
So first I'm an only child. So maybe that explains things, maybe not. So, you know, I can't look at that like parallel version of me and be like, you know, this is, or what could have been. All of my family is, back east in Virginia where I grew up. And, you know, for the most part, they're, you know, typical, East Coast, my dad is an artist, so you know, he you know, is more traditional painting and stuff. So, but you know, there's that sort of artistic streak. Maybe I picked that up from him. But you know, nothing on the level of I'm definitely like the one that everyone, you know, when I come home for family reunions, I feel like I'm on a different plane of existence in a way.
Yeah, yeah. There's not like an ancestry.com. Like, you have a great uncle who was a famous bagpiper.
Yeah, I haven't found. I'm still waiting for that connection.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And then tell me about Star Wars. You know, I know you love Star Wars, obviously. Like, did that happen early on? Has that sort of evolved your love of Star Wars?
I honestly can't remember a time in my life when I wasn't aware of Star Wars, because my dad growing up was just a huge science fiction fan. And so, like, I grew up with Star Trek and Star Wars just like always on the TV. It has just always been a presence in my life. And, you know, I fell into the same love of all things science fiction and geeky and nerdy too. So it's something, I went through that phase where, you know, I was into this stuff before it was cool. And you know, all the baggage that entails. I do think it's pretty cool now how, you know, when people like everyone can be into Star Wars and you can be proud of it, you know, without being considered weird in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it seems like it's become more, I don't know if mainstream's the word, but like some people watch Star Wars and Star Trek because they think that Chris Pine is hot. Some people watch it for the love story. Some people watch it for the techie language, not right. Techie language, but
if Chris Pine is going to be your gateway drug into Star Trek, hey, that's great.
So what's your thought? Because people argue about, you know, oh, there's a new movie and it's George Lucas would have hated that. You know, like, are you sort of, you know, I'll see what comes of this as it goes on? Are you kind of like, these two movies are great and that's it?
You mean sort of the current state of Star Wars?
Yeah.
I absolutely loved both seasons of The Mandalorian. I got wrapped up in the hype and really enjoyed just the experience of getting to see The Force Awakens sort of reinvigorate the Star Wars in the public's eye. But you know, I it just frustrates me that in my opinion Disney just kind of had no idea going in what they were doing or where they were going with this. And you know, I think it's it has taken just kind of Disney flailing about to find their footing and find what works, and I think that's in my mind what's happening now with The Mandalorian.
So they finally did.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you have a opinion?
I haven't watched it yet. Okay. I've heard it's really good, though. Like, numerous people have told me that it's really good.
It is very good.
So I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
And do you like all these other, you know, magic or Dungeons & Dragons? Like, all the things that are associated with, like, nerdiness.
Yeah.
Are they... I don't want to pigeonhole you, but are those things... You know, gaming or board games, or
I'm totally 100% not at all into board games. But video games are like that's my jam. You know,
what kind of video games?
Growing up again, I was just like on a Commodore 64 from an early age, and just every system since then. And you know, now today, I play everything. I've got a Super Nintendo that hooks up and works, and I've also got my PlayStation 5 and everything in between.
Nice.
And I just recently bought a PlayStation 2 for the first time, and that's like one system I'd never had. So I'm going through the back catalog.
Very cool.
Got some catching up to do.
Very cool. Well, I have 5 questions to ask you. These are the questions we ask of all our guests.
Okay.
They should potentially be more salacious, maybe next season. The first one is, if this wasn't your focus right now, what would be your passion project? So like, if you weren't, you know, your job plus Unipiper.
Yeah. Wow.
Would there be some other sort of, would you be scuba diving, you know?
It's very possible that I could be scuba diving because, my degree, is actually in marine biology. I worked at for a while at an aquarium, and I was doing educational programs in the Shark Tank. So let's go with that answer.
Scuba diving.
Yes.
Trainer of sharks. What's something in your life other than your given or chosen family that you know will always bring you joy?
Other than my family, probably like music. Is that a good answer?
Yeah. I mean, I have no right or wrong. It's just whatever you want to say. I've had people say chocolate cake. I've had people say traveling.
Yeah, like music, and then maybe even more specifically, like live music, going to shows, which is something I'm dying to get back to doing now.
Yeah, you and me both. What are you currently binge watching or reading?
Currently binge watching. Let's see, what is the most recent show that we watched? Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Um, We just watched both of the new Marvel shows. So WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah. I heard WandaVision was very good.
WandaVision was excellent. And I thought, I even thought Falcon and the Winter Soldier was very good.
Yeah, I have. So I'm nerdy in a policy, social justice, law kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend's nerdy, like you're nerdy. Uh-huh. Like he loves video games and rocks and plants and
so you know this stuff like through osmosis.
Yes, and so he'll tell me like what he thinks that I should watch to his level of nerdy, and I'll tell him what I think he should watch in my level of nerdy. Like I make him watch all the presidential debates and things like that, or like I'll be like, there's a press conference, we have to watch it.
My wife just finished watching Bridgerton, and she said that was very good. Yeah. But I did not watch it with her.
Yeah. Yes, that I've heard good things about that. Seems very soap opera like.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Downton Abbey for the youth.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Sure.
When the world gets back to normal, whatever that means. I mean, we're not wearing masks right now, which is great because we're vaccinated. Everybody's listening that you better get vaccinated. Where would you like to travel? Like, where do you think that you'll travel that you weren't able to go to?
I'll give you two answers. I'll give you like where I want to just go and see and experience, and then where I want to take the Unipiper. Before the pandemic happened, I was talking about bringing the Unipiper to Japan, which I've been to Japan myself, and just what a fantastic experience. I want to go back, and I think that that would be a whole new audience that would appreciate it. Did you know they have a, I don't know if they still do, but for a number of years, there was a Portland-themed festival every year that took place in Japan.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I did know something about a city in Japan being a sister city of Portland. Like they're somehow related in that way.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Apparently I learned this about just sort of, how Portland is seen in Japanese culture. Portland kind of became, Japan's like, vision, like, after the Fukushima nuclear disaster and the hurricane, like there was all this tragedy that had happened. And so somehow just the way word traveled, Portland was seen as this ideal city where people are free and like they're green and they're one with nature. And so there was just this surge of interest in Portland, in Japan. And so a lot of tourism and travel coming our way. So I thought that was fascinating.
That is really cool. Yeah. Yeah. So the Unipiper in Portland, or not in Portland, in Japan.
Yeah.
And then there's so many opportunities for pictures and video and things like that. I can see, like, not just you riding, but I don't know, does a Unipiper ever do karaoke?
I would gladly start if I could do it in Japan.
Yeah. And then what about for Brian? Where would Brian want to travel?
Much like everyone else, my wife and I were hoping to go to Iceland before things kind of shut down.
Yeah.
I hear it's a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. Iceland sounds beautiful. If you were to give a TED Talk, what would you talk about?
Oh, I would probably talk about my experience as the Unipiper and embracing what life gives to you. As I've said, you know, the Unipiper was never anything that I forced. It was just sort of like this natural progression and seeing how far it would go. So, you know, I would try to develop a talk encouraging folks to just find that big wave and then just ride it. Just, you know, don't move. Once you're on the wave, just stay right there.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like a good talk. Be yourself, try crazy things.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
The last part of this is one, I want to know how people can get involved, you know, with what you're doing, and then also give some shout outs to organizations that you think are doing a great job or that you want to give a shout out to.
Yeah. So if folks want to get involved with Weird Portland United, They can do so at our website at weirdportlandunited.org. There you can sign up and become an official Portland Weirdo. For $25, you get your membership patch or pin. But you know, if you are a Portland creative and want to get involved in a deeper way, you know, send us an email, contact us through the website. Let us know what you're doing that's weird. You know, we can help promote you, and you can get involved, and we can find fun ways. Always looking for folks to collaborate with. And then you know, there are so many amazing organizations in Portland. One that I've just become obsessed with recently is the Portland Street Art Alliance. We're going through the process ourselves right now in Weird Portland United. We're going to do a mural installation downtown and celebrating all the weird things about Portland in a giant mural.
That's really cool.
So we're working with the Street Art Alliance and just what they do for artists in terms of providing opportunity to find talent and then being able to find a way to get their work seen. And they take care of all of the back end legal stuff in terms of permitting and insurance for murals to allow the artist to get their foot in the door. That's just a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you know where it's going to be? Or kind of the area?
I do, and I don't think we're announcing
that. You don't have
to
sell me.
Yeah, quite yet. But we just did announce our three finalists in our artist search.
Nice.
So, if you can also sign up to our newsletter at Weird Portland United. If you want to check out our past issues, you can see who is in the running to be painting that Weird Portland mural.
That's excellent. Do you think that people who are normal or weird, or I mean, what is normal? But I guess like weirdness is so close to you that people who are not creative or weird are the people who are strange or off to you. Does that make sense?
Do I see them that way?
Yeah, yeah. Like you see someone and you're like, can't you just be a little more weird?
I want to say the answer is yes. I think the way that my brain works, though, is just that maybe because I'm like over here on the scale, I just sort of see everybody for who they are. And like in my mind, you know, everyone is dealing with their own things, and you know, you can't judge anyone. You just have to accept them for who they are. And I always take the viewpoint that no matter who you are or how much you think you know, there's something that you can learn from everyone else, and you just have to give them that opportunity and assume that you're not better than them.
Yeah, maybe weirdness lies deeper within, or
yeah,
they're just waiting to release the weirdness.
Everyone is weird in some way. It just might not be as obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for doing this podcast. I really appreciate it, and for all the work you do for the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really great stuff. I see you out there, and I'm proud. So,
well, I really appreciate the support, hope to see you around soon on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
We want to thank Brian Kidd, a.k.a. the Unipiper, for being on this episode of the podcast. To find out more about the only 501c3 dedicated to keeping Portland weird, visit weirdportlandunited.org. We want to give another shout-out to our friends at X-Ray FM. You can see all the great things they're doing for our community by visiting xray.fm. And of course, a very big thank you to you for checking out this episode of the podcast. Be sure not to miss any of our upcoming guests by subscribing to the podcast on your favorite streaming service. You can also visit alloftyourbusinesspodcast.com for previous episodes, custom gear, and if you happen to know anybody that you think would be a great fit for the podcast, click our contact page and let us know. This episode was recorded at JJT Studios and edited at Track 11 Music.